Psalm 79, 8 through 13. I'll read the even-numbered verses. I'd like to have you read along with me on the odd-numbered verses. And let's stand together as we read. Remember not against us former iniquities. Let thy tender mercy speedily prevent us, for we are brought very low. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name, and deliver us, and purge away our sins, for thy name's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, Where is their God? Let him be known among the heathen in our sight by the revenging of the blood of thy servants, which is shed. Let the sighing of the prisoner come before thee, according to the greatness of thy power, preserve thou those that are appointed to die. And render unto our neighbors sevenfold into their bosom their reproach, wherewith they have reproached thee, O Lord. So we, the people and sheep of thy pasture, will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations. And let's bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Lord's Day. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come together in freedom to worship your name. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us and for this portion of scripture that we read this morning. Pray that you would bless it and use it, that your Holy Spirit might work in our hearts as we hear the preaching today. Be with Pastor as he brings a message this morning. And Lord, we do pray if there's one here that doesn't know you as Savior, they might come to know you today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated.
From God's heaven to a manger, from great riches to the poor, came the Holy Son of God, a little child. From the azure halls of heaven to a lonely manger stall, Jesus came, and here he gave his life for all. Redeeming love, a love that knows no limits. Redeeming love, a love that shall not die. My soul shall sing throughout the endless ages, with choirs extolling this great love on high. From a loving heavenly Father to a world that knew him not, came the Jesus Christ the Lord. In my wandering, he found me, touched my life with his great love, and this babe has grown to be my sovereign Lord. Redeeming love, a love that knows no limits. Redeeming love, a love that shall not die. My soul shall sing throughout the endless ages, with choirs extolling this great love on high. Redeeming love, a love that knows no limits, redeeming love, a love that shall not die. My soul shall sing throughout the endless ages with choirs extolling this great love on high.
Amen. Amen. You want to get Brother Mark teared up, talk about the love of God, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother, I don't mind you singing with a tear in your eye. God commendeth his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. And take your Bibles, please, and turn to Psalm 79 with me. And keep your marker there. I'm going to put mine there. Psalm 79, we're going to come back to it, and then take your Bible and turn to Isaiah chapter 43. We're going to come back to Psalm 79 in just a second. Go to Isaiah chapter 43. And we're going to read verse 21 there. I'd like you to read it out loud with me. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 21. Let's read it out loud together. Ready? This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. Notice that. They shall show forth my praise. And then if you would, go over to 1 Peter chapter number 2. It's in the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 2, and we're going to read verse number 9. Well, I'm going to throw in verse 10 too, all right, as a bonus, but I'm going to read verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. All right. I hear the pages stop rustling. And the cell phone stopped tapping, so we must be there. All right, so here we are. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, verses 9 and 10. Let's read these out loud together as well. Ready? But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. What a powerful set of verses there. And then, so keep a marker there, if you don't mind, and go back now to Psalm chapter 79. And I'm going to read just verses 8, 9, and 13, Psalm chapter number 79. Verse 8, O remember not against us former iniquities. Let thy tender mercies speedily prevent or go before us. For we are brought very low. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name. And deliver us and purge away our sins for thy name's sake. I want you to notice a couple things in that verse, is that our call for help is based on not what it does just for us. Look at what it says. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name. It's based on what it does for him. Our call for God to help us is not just based on what it does for us. It's based on what it does for his name's sake. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name, and deliver us and purge away our sins. What's the next phrase? For thy name's sake. And then if you would, verse number 13, and read this out loud with me. Ready? So we, thy people, and sheep of thy pasture, will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations. We shall show forth thy praise to all generations. A thankful heart produces a grateful life. When one is truly thankful, it impacts his life and his interactions toward the one unto whom he is thankful. In this passage this morning, we see a thankful people making a commitment for the future out of a thankful heart. I want you to notice that verse again, verse 13, would you? So we, thy people and sheep of thy pasture, will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations. A thankful heart produces a grateful life. I want you to notice especially the phrase, the last part, we will show forth thy praise to all generations. Did you happen to catch that phrase in the other verses that we read? We will show forth thy praise. Show forth thy praise. This morning, I want to talk about showing forth his praise. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd bless the message from your word this morning. I pray that the scripture would be preeminent, that it would carry the weight, that my thoughts expressed would only be helpful, but the weight upon which we rest our faith and our actions would be found in the scriptures that are presented. I pray the Holy Spirit would fill me, Lord, that you'd use me for your honor and glory here this morning, and that the Holy Spirit would minister to each person in a special way. Maybe be just a little different when we leave this morning. Lord, I pray if there's anyone that does not know for sure they're on the way to heaven, that today their soul would be stirred to get that settled. So bless this time, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Showing forth his praise. Showing forth his praise. Psalm 79:13, so we thy people and sheep of thy pasture will give thee thanks forever. And to demonstrate that, we will show forth thy praise to all generations. Showing forth his praise. Well, first of all, in our message this morning, we've got to understand what it means to show forth his praise. On the surface, you would think, and I think this is part of it, but it's not what it really actually means. On the surface, you would think, okay, I'm going to demonstrate then by my life my praise to God. Now, that is one aspect of a grateful life that we'll do. Let him that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. We're to be becoming of our beliefs in our actions. That's a truth, really, for another time. But this phrase, showing forth his praise, isn't talking about just the actions. It's something a little bit different. It's meaning. The word show forth, very interesting. It's translated in the Old Testament, it's one word, Hebrew word, translated show forth. And it's translated 50 times scribe. 40 times to tell. A scribe is one who writes or retells something that's true. So it's translated scribe 50 times. 40 times tell. 24 times in the Old Testament declare. 23 times to number or recount. And the actual meaning of it is to count or to recount or to relate to someone. The idea to rehearse something, which is what a scribe did, or to declare something. To be rehearsed, to be recounted, to show forth. So I think the idea to proclaim or declare is certainly an appropriate English synonym for the meaning to show forth. We read in Isaiah 43 and verse 21, which said, "These people have I formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise." They shall show forth my praise. He said in Isaiah 43:21 that he had formed this people for himself. Of course, you know how he formed Israel, calling Abraham from Ur of the Chaldees and saying, "I'll make a great nation." We talked a little bit about that last Sunday. "I'll make a great nation of thee, through whom all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Speaking of the seed Christ, through whom we've been blessed. And God said he formed, he took Abraham and he formed a nation out of Abraham. And he said, "I formed them for myself, and they shall show forth my praise." The word in Isaiah 43:21 is this first show forth, is the same word as in Psalms 79:13, "We shall show forth thy praise to all generations." The word praise there in these verses in Psalm 79:13 and Isaiah 43:21, the word praise means that which is demanded by the qualities, deeds, or attributes of something. So the idea is to recount, we will show forth, we will recount, we will proclaim, we will tell about, essentially, God's praise, i.e., the attributes of God. God says, "I've formed you, and you will show forth my praise. You will proclaim, you will tell about, you will recount to others my deeds, my attributes, who I am as God." If you would take your Bible and turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. What does it mean to show forth? We're looking at that. The meaning of it. To show forth thy praise. A little more extensive in 1 Peter chapter 2, but it's interesting to me. You know, you determine Bible phrases and Bible words by Bible usage, and when a phrase is used, it's used several times and connects like this, you have no reason not to grasp its full meaning. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Let's look at it again. "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal," speaking to believers here, and including Gentile believers, people scattered abroad, Gentile believers, "ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people." And read the next phrase, ready? "That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Isn't that interesting? In the Psalms we read, "Were the thy people the sheep of thy pastures, we will show forth thy praises to all generations." God says to Israel in Isaiah, "I have formed you that you might show forth my praises." And then the Apostle Peter, inspired of the Holy Spirit, writes to Jews and Gentiles scattered abroad that they are God's people, to show forth the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And I want you to notice verse 10 there. It says, "Which in time were not a people, but now you're the people of God." To show forth in 1 Peter chapter 2, you guessed it, means to tell out. To declare abroad, to divulge, to publish, to make known by proclaiming. He says, God says, listen, I've made you my people to proclaim who I am and what I've done. That's what I've made you my people to do. The word praises in 1 Peter chapter number 2 along the same line, but I think really gives clarity to the other word that we looked at in Hebrew. The word praises in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 means virtuous or attributes, excellence, moral goodness. The word virtue would fit there. And the thought here, to show forth the praises, the virtue of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, the idea of showing forth his praises, the meaning is this. They said they promised to, as Jewish people in Psalms, God said, I formed you to do it. And Peter says, he's made you a people. We'll look at that in just a minute. He's made you a people so that you would do this. And God says what he wants us to do is to, this is very important, publicly proclaim what God is and what he's done. God wants his people to be vocal about him. To proclaim the virtues. The meaning of showing forth his praise then is to proclaim the virtues of God. And the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So let's go back and look at our blessing. If you would go back to Psalm 79, please, our blessing. Our blessing that we have connected with this. Psalm 79 in verse number 13. So we, thy people, and sheep of thy pasture. Now, we see a broader meaning of that. If you go back to verse number 8, remember not against us former iniquities, as his people, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions. Remember not against us former iniquities. Let thy tender mercies speedily prevent us or go before us. The picture is, Lord, let your mercies stay one step ahead of me because I'm always stepping in it. I'm always stepping in trouble. So let your mercies be in front of me all the time. Prevent, go before. Verse 9, help us, O God of our salvation, implying he has saved us. You've rescued us. Now, God, help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name. Deliver us and purge away our sins for thy name's sake. These are part of the blessings. Look at verse 13 again. So we, thy people, and sheep of thy pasture, will give thee thanks. Proclaiming the virtues of the Lord first deals with our blessings. What do we have to proclaim? Well, we're saved from sin. Amen? That's worth proclaiming. We're saved from sin. We belong to the Lord. We are the sheep of his pasture. He formed us. He made us. We belong to the Lord and we abound with blessings, not just the blessings spiritually of sins forgiven in the home of heaven, but we abound, as we talked about last Sunday, we abound with blessings. We're blessed and we're being blessed all the time. We have so much for which we thank God. Notice in that phrase, so we thy people, knowing all that's encompassed in that, and sheep of thy pasture, those who are led and fed and protected by Almighty God, the sheep of his pasture, will give thee thanks. We'll have a thankful heart. The great blessings being part of that that belongs to us in belonging to the Lord. If you would take your Bible momentarily, I hope you still have your marker. Let's jump back just for a second to 1 Peter chapter 2. I told you I'd explain the first part of that verse there. 1 Peter chapter 2. This is our blessing. It's the greatest blessing of all. We belong to Him. And 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 lays this precedent as well as it comes to showing forth His praise. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people." Let me just briefly explain what those are. The first is, you're an elect or chosen nation. He's saying this to people that have gotten saved. Just like God chose Israel, now that you're saved, you've asked Christ to be your Savior, you're part of His chosen. We're not second class. We're not sheep of another fold. We're part of what God has for all of His people. Doesn't say pre-chosen to salvation, but once we've received Christ as Savior, we are part of His chosen. Notice, so you're a chosen, an elect nation, generation. The word generation meaning a particular nation there. And then it says a royal priesthood. Now in the Old Testament, they had priests that offered sacrifices for their own sins and for the sins of the people. But Jesus is our high priest. He offered for our sins once for all. But we then, as His children, are His people to offer spiritual sacrifices. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks, and our lives as a living sacrifice to do His will. And so notice, a royal priesthood. They didn't have a royal priesthood in the Old Testament. In fact, when King Uzziah tried to do the work of the priest, he got in trouble over that. They had kings, they had priests, and the Lord says, "I've made you kingly priest. We're joint heirs with the King of Kings as we offer the sacrifice of praise and lives of service to Him. We're a royal priesthood." And then it says, a holy nation. The word holy nation is the idea, a set apart ethnicity or people. God called Abraham, and those people became the Hebrews, or called the what? Jewish people. An ethnicity. In Christ, He's made us all one special people. A special ethnos. Ethnicity. We are a holy nation. A special people set apart for His forever. Had a birthday, talking about Christmas presents. Little Hudson said, my wife said something about she was going to get a truck for her. And Hudson said, "No, for me." It's designated for me, isn't it? Think about this. We're designated for God. We're His. A holy, a set-apart nation. And then peculiar people. I've explained this phrase many times. But peculiar people doesn't mean weirdos. All right? Some people, I've heard this so many times. Well, we are peculiar people, and they mean weirdos. No, we're not. Although I may be weird. Don't say amen. The word peculiar means purchased. That, here's the meaning of the word used for purchase. It means that which is one's own, belonging to one's person. One's possession. God says, you're a prized possession. I bought you. I paid for you with my blood. You received me as your Savior. You're my possession now. You belong to me. We were sold to sin's condemnation through the fall, But through the death and resurrection, the shed blood of Christ, receiving him as our Savior, we've been made his. We're a peculiar, a purchased possession. And by the way, you want to know how much you're worth? The value, the worth of something is determined by the price someone is willing to pay for it. Jesus was willing to pay for you with his precious blood. That's how much each one of you, including myself, is worth. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. When he says, you're my purchased people, my peculiar people, it was a great price. So with that in mind, we're his people, the sheep of his pasture, his purchased possession. Interesting enough, in Deuteronomy chapter 14 and verse 2, it says this, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth. Even in the word, in the Old Testament, it meant a possession all to himself. This is our blessing. We belong to him. We're the sheep of his pasture, and he cares for us. Wherever you are in your Christian life, in your circumstances of life, you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you know him as your Savior, and he cares about you with forethought and planning, touched with the feeling of your infirmities. That's our blessing. Well, let's move on to our purpose. I've formed you that you would show forth my praises, our purpose. Our purpose is, as we see if you're still there in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And drifting back to Psalm chapter number 79, would you please, and verse 13. So we, thy people and sheep of thy pasture, will give thee thanks, our blessing, forever. Our purpose. We will show forth thy praises to all generations. Our purpose is to proclaim, to tell out, to declare, to divulge, to publish, to make known by proclaiming the praises, the virtues, the deeds, the attributes of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To proclaim the virtues of Christ. You know, we don't ask people to accept Pastor Whitman as their Savior. Amen. We don't ask people to accept Baptist ideology for salvation. Although hopefully Baptist ideology is based on the Scripture, right? It is. It's not being a Baptist. We don't accept a creed for salvation. We don't accept a baptism for salvation. We don't accept good works for salvation. We don't accept being a part of joining a church for salvation. We accept one thing and one thing alone. The virtues of Jesus Christ. That he, as the sinless Lamb of God, lived a perfect life for every one of us. We could not. We've come short. And that he, as the sinless Lamb of God, went to the cross of Calvary and suffered, bled, and died paying for each one of our sins. The Savior. And being buried, the third day he rose again from the grave and is evermore alive to give eternal life unto whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. We proclaim the virtues of Jesus Christ. God saved us when we put our faith in Christ and blessed us so that we can share his goodness. Not our goodness. His goodness. To others. Out of thankfulness, we, the people, the sheep of thy pasture, will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praises to all generations. Out of thankfulness, we are to publish the virtues of the one who has purchased us and who blesses us. Interesting passage when Jesus healed the blind man. The religious crowd who rejected Jesus Christ were upset because it gave glory to God. Young man had been blind from his birth. You read about it in John chapter 9. The disciples said, who sinned, this guy or his parents, that he's born blind? Jesus said, neither. This is for God's glory. Well, here's part of that glory. The blind man was healed. And listen to this. They said to him, how were thy eyes opened? He answered and said, a man that's called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and I washed and I received sight. They said unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay on mine hands and I washed and I do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man's not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. And others said, how can a man that's a sinner do such miracles? And they said to the blind man again, what sayest thou of him? That he hath opened thine eyes. He said, he's a prophet. They asked his parents, how did he heal him? He said, ask the boy, the man. Again they called the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man, speaking of Jesus, is a sinner. Listen now. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, whereas I was blind, I now see. He was thankful. And he proclaimed the praise of Jesus Christ. He healed me. That's what I know. He changed my life. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Jesus did that. I spoke about the woman of the well last Sunday night. And after she came to know Christ as her Savior, she proclaimed that Jesus was the one who told her all things that she had done. And she said, is not this the Christ? She proclaimed the virtues of Jesus Christ. A thankful people will have grateful lives. And those grateful lives will speak about the one to whom they're grateful. Show forth his praise. Well, then what needs to be our focus? Our purpose is to speak forth his praise. Well, his praise. Well, what's our focus then? I want you to notice the phrase, we will show forth thy praise. And would you look at the end of that in Psalm 79, verse 13? Let's read it out loud together, the whole verse. Ready? So we, thy people, and sheep of thy pasture, will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations. To all peoples. To the people now. The people to come. The people that look like us. The people that don't. The people that have believed. The people that haven't. We will show forth the praises, thy praises to all generations. The focus, this of this passage is to proclaim the virtues of Christ to all people. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, Jesus said. The people around us in the Christmas season need to hear about the greatness of the Savior on whom we've believed. Isaiah 63:7 says this. Listen to these words. I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord and the praises, the virtues of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us. And the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies and according to the multitude of his loving kindness. I will mention thy loving kindness. I will speak of the praises of the Lord. What blessings to know the Lord. What blessings in knowing the Lord. What purpose to speak about it, and what a great focus to everybody around us. Speaking on to the two on the road to Emmaus, the Bible records Jesus this way. He said, these are the words which I spake unto you, that while I was with you, that all things must be fulfilled. Now listen, here he is talking to people who are confused because the Jesus they had trusted had been crucified. And they weren't sure about the resurrection yet. And he said, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it's written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. You know what he's saying? He's saying all that was written was about me. Now what I want you to do is proclaim my virtues. I want you to tell others about me. The Old Testament told about what I would be when I came. You've seen me. You've experienced me. You've trusted me. I've been crucified. I died. I rose again. And now I want you to tell everybody about me. Tell. Showing forth his praise, proclaiming the virtues of our God is our purpose, and our focus is on everybody around us. Grateful hearts, showing forth his praise, proclaiming the virtues of our God, grateful hearts will speak of the one to whom they're grateful. When someone does something really nice for you, I almost said, I bet, but I don't. I guess you'll tell others about them. Our witness is not a testimony of what we do for God. Our witness is not just a testimony of what God has done for us. Our witness is to be a testimony of all that God is, and we've reaped the benefit of that. Paul at Athens. Interesting story in the book of Acts, where the Athenians gathered around with chit-chat about different philosophies and thoughts. Several television programs just like them. The Bible says certain philosophers of Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, Paul, and said, "What will this babbler say?" Others says he seems to be a setter forth of strange gods because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. They took him, and they brought him, Paul that is, to Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is?" Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that you're in all things too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Whom, therefore, you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you, God, that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he's Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped by men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, hath determined the times before appointed in the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he's not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we're his offspring. For as much then as we're the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. And at the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance to all men that he hath raised him from the dead." Paul, there in Athens, stood up and did what he's formed to do. He proclaimed the virtues of God. People need Jesus. People need the salvation that our God has provided. And our job is to show forth his praises. Isaiah proclaimed, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth, even forever. For the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Isaiah proclaimed the virtues of Christ. The angel unto Mary proclaimed, "Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." The angel proclaimed his praises. Who he is, what he'll do. This is really what Christmas is all about for the Christian. This is what we need to be doing during this Christmas season. You ready? Showing forth his praise. I learned a chorus when I was a kid. Learned many. Let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is he. The Lord of Lords supreme. Through all eternity. The great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. Showing forth his praise. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the fact that you've made us your own. You provided the way. We've put our faith in what you did for us, and you've made us now your own eternally. You've given us a purpose and a focus with that purpose. The purpose to show forth or to proclaim your virtues, your praise to a lost and dying world. Help us. May we use Christmas season to point people to Jesus Christ, who died for them. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. I ask this question, number one, have you received Jesus as your Savior? It's not a maybe. Have you done it? You know you're sitting here. You know that. You did it. You walked through the door. You're here. Have you invited Jesus Christ into your heart to be your Savior, believing he died and rose again for you? Have you done that? If not, you're not his yet. He's paid for you. You've got to complete the transaction and accept what he did for you as payment for your sins. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you received Jesus as your Savior? If not, will you today? The other question is, will you show forth his praise? Are you a grateful people? Show forth his praise. Tell others about him, what he has done, what he'll do for them, who he is. Show forth his praise. Just a minute, we'll stand together and sing a verse of invitation song. We're going to sing, Have You Any Room for Jesus? And as we do, I pray that our hearts would be stirred about our purpose that the Lord defined here in the Scripture. Speaking to others about him. As we sing, I pray that our hearts will be stirred and challenged, especially this time of year, to point people to the focus. Our focus as Christians at Christmas time. If you're here and you're not sure that you're saved, when we stand and sing, would you slip out from your seat, come down to the front, grab my hand, say, Preacher, I want to make sure that I'm saved today. Maybe you just need to come and pray. You do that. If you're not sure you're saved, you let me know. I want to help you with that today. Shall we stand together, please? Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd bless this invitation time for your name's sake. For your name's sake. Challenge our hearts. Transform our lives. Use us for your name's sake. Bless this time. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Jeff.
Number 331, have you any room for Jesus? Have you any room for Jesus, he who bore your load of sin? As he knocks and asks admission, sinner, will you let him in? Room for Jesus, King of glory, hasten now his word obey. Swing your hearts so widely open.
Heavenly Father, we're grateful for this time we've had together today. And Lord, I pray that truly the Holy Spirit would continue to work in our hearts and remind us that we have a mission. We need to talk about you. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to do it boldly, empowered by thy Holy Spirit. Use us for your glory to have an impact on lost people during this Christmas season. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, and you are dismissed.